Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
We'll be right back.
Wednesday evening, July 26th. Good evening, good evening, and welcome. Welcome once again as we go into Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. Sorry, my voice is a little raw. My name is Mike Lewising, and as always, it's great to have you. Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right here, right now, at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network who will be showing up later. But right now, you have to excuse me, the ball game's off. No budding. Right field, number 17, Shohei Ohtani.
Ohtani.
Well, what do you do with that? Yes, sir.
This is Shohei Ohtani show. If they have lost 3 to 4 games this week, he would not be wearing a 3 to 4. But because they won 3 to 4 games this week, guess what? He ain't going nowhere.
Oh, you really think so, huh?
He ain't going nowhere.
Well, let's look at the record. He's sitting 290, 38 home runs, 77 ribs. You know, numbers like that, ages on his side, it's like it's more than the golden ticket in Willy Wonka. It's just gold. It's just gold. So much gold that we had to take this to a place that we didn't think we'd have to so much so far this early. But it's clear they're going to have to rewrite the check. Rewrite the checkbook for this brother because his specialties make him a luxury item. And a luxury item situation only few, very few can afford. But those who can afford, they make very attractive. It's time to take it to the next star. Uncharted territory for Major League Baseball. We've seen hot free agents before. We've seen guys who put up gaudy numbers and said, well, you can pretty much write your own ticket. But Ohtani is different. You know? It's like you can't find a way to backlash against him. He's Asian. Now, there have always been Asian players in Major League Baseball. But nothing like this one. When Hank Aaron was pissing off white folks all over the place and getting close to passing Babe Ruth, another black guy, Sada Haru-O and his name all of a sudden just popped up out of nowhere and it was like, he's in a challenge. You know, you think Aaron was good, yeah, O was better. Now, everybody's on equal footing, and Ohtani is showing a way clearly that with over a month left in the season, he's going to be the plum free agent for somebody.
Why is he going to break the bank? Why is he going to break the bank? Because he can do double duty. Double duty. Why me and this, folks? You have a guy that can hit the ball, and you have a guy that can pitch every 4 days. And because of American League DH, he's even more commodity because of the DH. They don't know what to do with this guy. They have no idea what to do with this guy.
Well, this is the era of specialization. And that Ohtani comes up at a time like this really makes everybody scratch their heads. Farm systems for every ball club are now on alert. What do we do with this? Now, it's not the first time Japanese players have come here. Obviously, Ichiro had a great career here. Hideki Matsui did great things for the Yankees, for the Evil Empire. But Shohei Ohtani and his numbers are totally different. We got Reggie in the house. Reggie, can you hear us?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me? I got a new phone, an Apple phone, and I'm pissed off with my wife because I knew what I was doing. Now I'm lost. y'all have to forgive me. Nothing like an old fart trying to figure out how to do a new phone. And it's an Apple. I lost all my games. I lost half my contacts. I lucked up and got you today. I had to text Gary, but I text Gary the landline, and I text T-Mac. I said, what the ham sandwich going on here? But, hey, God is good. God is good. Hey, again, Mike, I want to congratulate you on your upcoming nuptials. And my daughter, the baby girl, is getting married November 2nd. So I get to walk the aisle and give my baby away. So, of course, they're in my pocket already. Big G, you ready? You gonna roll down the aisle there, G? Well, what are you saying, G? What's going on, G?
But anyway, to the task at hand, there's a disturbance of the force, and it's the bank books, all the Major League Baseball teams, because Ohtani is not going to get a discount. You're going to pay top dollar for him if you pay. And everybody's wondering what that top dollar would do. You know, they can't make an excuse and cut him short because he's black. You know, they can't make an excuse and say he's white, so he deserves X amount of dollars. As Tony used to always say, if the player involved is getting X dollars, the owners are getting X, because that's the X dollars.
Yeah, you see the sale of the burgundy and gold. I tell you what he got. But gentlemen, isn't it interesting, since we're talking about money, certain quarterback for the San Diego Chargers, a.k.a. L.A. Chargers. I know we're talking about baseball, but it just amazed me. All we heard about Mr. Lamar Jackson, that Negro do not deserve the money. How the owners run around here talking about they can't afford a guaranteed contract. This quarterback for the Chargers got a guaranteed injury clause in his contract and a no claims clause. Talking about being a gangster. He's the highest-paid quarterback, and I ain't heard boo about, look, Lamar Jackson's been an MVP, won playoff games, and got a damn good chance this year to make it to the starter. Did I miss something, Big G? Did I miss something?
You did not. You did not. And it's
can you help a brother out? I need help. Help a brother out. Help me out.
Reggie, you tell me, Michael. You tell me, you sit there and the New York football giants did not sign a bargain for a tag, a franchise tag. I am so sick of him
Gary hitting body shots tonight, boy.
For real, man. What are you doing?
It is a lot of money. It is a lot of money. And it's money that can't be ignored. But when somebody writes the check, they're going to say, well, this will pay for that. And we've seen it in other sports, but we haven't seen it in baseball, not at this level, because we're talking about baseball when it was the American pastime. It's past time that baseball was that important.
So yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Get all this money. You got the professor now. Fred, good evening. And Shohei Ohtani may want to adopt a 60-year-old black guy. I may have to ask for their help.
Breaking news. There is one USA 0. Just good.
There you go.
What?
Netherlands 1, USA 0.
Come on, the women's soccer league?
That's right, this is Gordon.
Hey, I'm calling for an upset. I don't think the ladies are that hot myself.
Well, look, the ladies were pissed about getting paid the same amount of money. You got
to
put in the same amount of effort.
Put up a shut up now. Yep.
There you go. And we got Tony McClain in the house as well. So, Professor Tony.
T-Mac, return of the Mac. And Professor. Thanks for your help, T. Appreciate it.
No, no problem.
Who is that trying to kiss up? Football season hasn't started yet.
I knew
the biggest of mercy.
Oh, God. Here we go. Hey, look, Professor, just got Fairville is looking down at y'all. Don't get upset. You had your glory years, Professor. You turned the town red. Now just be humble and know that your better days are gone.
Uh-oh.
We have looked up at the Broncos before.
Once
or twice in the 50 years since I've been affiliated, well, correction, 50 plus years. But at the same time, though,
looking back,
you know, we have 5 years between CIAA championship and basketball, and they had. But how much is
22 minus
Hey, Mike, you hear him,
don't you, Mike?
I was told there was not going to be any math, so.
SAT words tonight.
Well,
oh,
you know,
my job, my face hurts.
You bring up SAT. Once upon a time, white folks, that was the stabilizing force for integration. No matter what black folks did or how smart they were supposed to be, they didn't test well. So they made tests and they couldn't do well on them. But anyway,
Professor, remember, the black folks learned how to use chores and labor during slavery, according to a certain person in Florida. But I digress. We learned our skills in slavery.
I wasn't even going to bring that up because that's so stupid. But to their credit,
there
is a measure of truth to that. This is how a lot of us bought our freedom, was using skills or trading with the master. Having said that, we also had 100 plus colleges and universities that we helped start or help maintain. And they're still in existence, and they're still producing in every facet of human life.
Yeah, and don't forget the pyramids in Mother Africa. They still can't duplicate that.
as they try to destroy Mother Africa, look at it this way.
And they continue to do it.
We built pyramids before they built houses. So
thank you.
Thank you.
And they still
you know
can't
what?
Replicate.
Gentlemen, you know I'm not one to instigate.
No.
But
instigate. Go ahead. I can understand.
But,
Gary clears the bell.
Yeah, we think about all the money. We think about all the money that Kurt Flood's family should be getting with
God bless him.
Kickbacks from free agencies. Here's Shohei Ohtani, who's going to cash it in a big way.
Cash cow?
I mean, it is a cash herd.
He's a cash herd. Lord have mercy.
Well, that's because cows are sacred. I think cows are sacred in his native land. I think that's the reason why.
Giving the heifer a break.
Mm-hmm. See, you guys are just messing over some very good heifers out there.
I'm sorry.
Think about it. Here's a. I just got back from one of the stupidest states in the United States. Okay, I didn't go to Florida. I didn't go to Georgia.
Oh God!
I think we flew over the top corner of Mississippi. And ended up in Texas. And I've told everybody that I had to talk to since then. Hey, we're gonna stop talking about going to hell. You want some of the hot for punishment? We're going to send them to Texas. Ain't nothing down there but heat. And why my family members won't leave is beyond me. But, you know, when we look across the whole diaspora of life as we are living here in the United States of America, you know, there's more than enough stupid to go around. So there's no reason that this dissenter isn't through. And I forget the governor of Texas. You know, come on.
That's true.
They're going out to spread it even thinner because those are just a representative. But remember, I think his name is Talbert, the governor of Texas, the governor of Georgia, the governor of Florida.
He right there with him.
Oh, well, see, Virginia's not a state. These people have gone out and find, this is how dangerous this is. These people, as idiotic as they are, have gone out and found, I'll call them kissing cousins, some people who are just as stupid as they are, if not, you know, they have found more people. They have found more stupid people out there.
Lieutenant Governor of Virginia.
These other people, these people actually vote for them.
Yeah.
And vote for them in mass. And they vote for them at a level where they not only won governorships, they not only won Senate seats, other things right on down. You know, down the line. So that's where the danger is. You know, you don't have to watch. You know, they say, so how do you deal with on the battlefield? One thing you got to look out for is, you can see the army coming. So what about the snipers? And see, that's the kind of stuff you got to deal with. And the snipers are all out there because if you don't deal with them properly, hey. They're picking you off, and almost with impunity. And at the end of the day, whether you see them coming or you don't see them coming, you get hit. You just as dead. And see, and this is the kind of thing that we're going to start looking for in the political arena, because as we continue to move forward towards the upcoming election. don't think people are not setting strategies in place to make the most of this, no matter how, you know, whether or not your greatest favorite president is in jail or in hell. They don't care.
True.
There are other people out there who think like him, and those are the ones you got to watch.
That's right.
Amen.
But you know what? You know what? All that said, nothing's more insulting than seeing something, predicting it's happening, having it happen, and having everybody shut up. And I got to go to Tony because Tony hit it right about the death of the running back. Tony, apparently at least a dozen of the top running backs in the league had a Zoom call. I guess they were strategizing what they're going to do about this lack of money that they'll see on their contracts, because running back is a one contract to get our position now. And I don't think we're going to see long-term commitments from anybody who's going to run anymore.
And like, can we all say collusion, collusion, collusion?
Yep.
Well, you know, I was talking with someone about this, and he brought up a very, very interesting point. And it's definitely, you know, look, it's in regards to what the running backs are going through. You know, I guess Saquon just got his for whatever, I guess for about a year, and Darwin Cook is still out there. But you know, it's interesting that the very same guys who are, you know, in a sense, the players more so than anything else. It's interesting that the players will get together in regards to thinking that they're being blackballed and all the other stuff, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
But where was all that outrage about 7-8 years ago when their brethren Kaepernick was going through his stuff?
Well,
basically he was saying what goes around comes around, in a sense. You know, if you didn't fight for him, you know, back in the day, why should we feel sorry for you guys now? Because you're basically getting, you know, maybe if you had fought, you know, maybe if you had took a stand years ago, maybe, I mean, yes, you still could possibly be blackballed anyway, but, you know, karma may be late sometimes, but it's never missed an appointment, as Mike has said a lot. And maybe I'm not saying this is the entire reason, but it's somewhat related, because again, even though they embraced the players that went out of their way to speak against him, they're basically getting the same treatment that Kaepernick got. And they're sitting around sort of wondering why, you know, where's the outrage for us?
Yep, exactly. And the fact that they've done this scares the fact that your career has dissipated by at least a year or two, because the demand will always be in effect, but the supply will be even worse. You got Patrick Ferrari mixed. I guess the only way to describe it is, you know, you're saturated. You're in a field where running backs are literally a dime a dozen. And I think nothing's more impactful than the fact that the Vikings, Dalvin Cook, made the Pro Bowl 4 years in a row.
He got a job.
He's out of a job. It's like,
Hey, Patrick, how's that quarterback looking with the Cleveland Browns? I think he might be the sleeper this year.
First of all, how's everybody doing? Number one, good to be talking with you again. All right. Tony, and particularly Tony, with you playing your cousin tonight, and you're behind by 2 runs, but it's another story.
I treat them like Bugs Bunny treats his relatives, you know.
I love it.
I ain't mad at you, bro. I am not mad at you
no.
at all.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, they're the ones that don't bring anything to the cookout, but always leave with two buckets of food or something. Hello.
Yep. Yep. How's Watson doing?
Don't forget they take half the cooler with them too.
Hey. No, what's worse than that? No, what's worse than that, Tony? They come and what they got? They got Tupperware and aluminum foil. That's even worse, you know. So
yeah. But they gonna raid the place and then drink all your liquor. We want to know where to look at. Where the white women at?
that's at least a 2-3 fight minimum right there.
White women
and
liquor.
I don't even drink. That's the thing about it. I was like,
in terms of the Browns,
they've had
four practices because they're having the first 2 weeks out in first week and a half out in the place called Grimmer, West Virginia. Real nice facility.
What?
Real nice facility. Yeah, yeah. They're working out there. Great facility. They're out in West Virginia working out. And they're coming back August the second because they play the third
Are they scrimmaging somebody out there, Patrick?
It's just them.
Is Bob Huxton out there taking drinks?
Yeah, he probably is.
I'm just surprised Jimmy has them went into his pocket for once.
Hey. You better spend the money.
Wow.
But yeah, they come back. I think they come back the first. They come back the first, I think. But they're gonna play.
Because they got the Hall of Fame game. They got the Hall of Fame game this year, right?
I was trying to work my way out there, but it didn't happen. They're playing the Jets, and Watson's looking real good. Watson's looking.
He's going to surprise
them. Looking real good.
They better watch.
Even the most hardened Browns critics, and I know two of them suckers personally, they're saying he looks real different. What do you think?
Of course, he's had a full off season.
Thank you. A full camp.
I mean, It's incredible.
Then, Tony, you know how it is. They're willing to be super nigger, automatically. That's what ball down there.
Pretty much.
Please.
Pretty much.
But he's come on slow. And they're saying Elijah Moore, Elijah Moore is hungry as a hungry man with a tuna fish sandwich. Playing like a beast.
So let's see
what happens.
Here we go.
I saw online where Nick Chubb basically put the entire city of Akron and Cleveland on the weight slab, and I got a double hernia just looking at that thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, 600 pounds, man. Please.
Oh
please.
Man.
Yeah.
But Tony,
we do that. Yes, that's power. But what a lot of people don't know when it gets to that point, what folks don't realize, there's as much technique in it as there is strength.
Absolutely. And see, this is why it's so hilarious to see why they're trying to kill the running back because, Nick Chubb is a franchise. I look at him in the same breath as a Derrick Henry, and in many ways probably better because he's a bit younger, and I guess they're saying they're going to try to actually do some play action with him and still have trying to get him out there in space, and if I'm a defensive back in that conference. I'm checking my insurance premiums one more time just in case.
And one of the things I tell people, I told Mike tonight, I'm not going to the deep argument on running backs, but I'll say this: I was with some people recently, I told Mike recently, about running backs. And they had, some of these crazy training white boys kill me about, I never played, but they tell me everything. And I said, yeah, outside of quarterback, who has the ball more? The running back. So they're going to get paid less than everybody else. Okay. Well, it's an open game. I said, okay, let's see. You're about a game away from the playoffs, and you got to play in Cleveland and Buffalo. You going to run a spread offense?
Yep.
Move right along. Don't get me started.
Even Cincinnati is smart enough to know that Burrow can do it all by himself.
And the killer guys today, they signed Andrew Thomas, the tackle for the Giants, for $67 million, and you couldn't give that brother another $10 million, $15 million dollars. Stop.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, put it this way: if there's any justice, the Eagles sign him to a long term deal after this year. He can come back and haunt their ass. Yeah, exactly.
Tony, your point for a second. You know why? Somebody's going to do it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We get it. The quarterbacks are supposed to see. You knew the minute that Hurts and Jackson got their money that they were going to, okay, we got to sign, now we got to get the golden boys, so to speak. Now,
there you go. Sign the white boys. Where the white boys at? Sign the white boys.
Yep. Yeah.
It's amazing. Lamar Jackson was rich for a day, and they said we're going to make sure that Negro does not be high as pay. I don't care if it's by a dollar.
That's right.
No, they weren't going to let that happen. They weren't. And
they went trading places on him. $1.
Well, you know what I would say? Why are y'all surprised?
It's far from being surprised. Yeah. It's more so. I mean, the more and more I think about it, I'm not sure if Justin Herbert is just Bobby. It's just Justin Abair.
I've heard that before.
Learn this from the gambling episode. You had to make a statement. These running backs, okay, you know what, fellas? We ain't play. Let me see how you do, fellas.
It ain't gonna have much impact when you see numbers like that, G. We got Eric Sutherland with us. Eric, you up there on the West Coast?
What's happening? What's up, fellas? How's the family?
What in the hell is going on with this contract?
Was the question around the charges, the quarterback's money?
The money, yes.
Wow. Interesting, too, in comparison, you had the three brothers, right, that got picked in the first four picks, right? Bryce, the brother from Ohio State. What's his name again?
By the way, Young was officially named the starter already for Carolina.
Right. And Richardson. Mm-hmm. Richardson.
They're going to beat him down to the white meat.
At least Jeff Saturday's not calling plays, thankfully.
Thank goodness.
In Indianapolis, my goodness. I mean, that was some psychotic-ish right there. I mean, he was up 33-0 on the Vikings at halftime and lost. Way to go, coach. Yeah, he lost again. Right. Oh, the greatest comeback in NFL history. So with the brothers signing these – What was interesting, when you chop up the numbers, right, the three brothers, were the first four picks, all quarterbacks. All their money in their contract was guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
And so the change, I'll take three of the first four picks in the NFL draft over one Herbert every day of the week, right?
Yeah,
he's got –
There you go, letting the facts get away in the argument. There you go.
Well, you know, I'll take Richardson, Ohio State's quarterback, and I'm going to just use the colleges and Alabama's quarterback. Because those brothers that came out of Cali, Ohio State and Alabama, so they Southern Cal kids, you know, and they matriculated to the Midwest, matriculated to the Deep South. And Bryce, right, you know, he got the Heisman National Championship, was won last year. So, you know, you look at the overall status of what's happening with the rookie crop, which is more longevity. And interesting, too, they're kind of spread out in different divisions, right? You know, you got the AFC South, and you have the NFC South, and then you have the AFC, what do they call it, the Central? They're in the South, too, so they're both in the South, right?
North, Texans. North or something like that.
Yeah, Texans and the Colts are both in the South. So they're setting up that long-term matchup there, right? Colts, Texas, two young brothers getting the start. So it's going to really put a lot of pressure on those other teams. I can't see DeMarco going a different way in Houston than his rookie pick, like starting quarterback. He might want to play that. We got to get him season game, but he's still his best quarterback in camp. So, you know, Herbert,
To me, the question with all three of the brothers and even the established guys, are they going to play to their strengths or are they going to force them to play their system? Now,
Well, the offensive coordinator from the Colts, right, he came from Philly. Right?
Yep.
He came
He's the head coach in Carolina now.
Richardson fits that style, man. You know, I mean, he may not be Jalen Hurts out the gate, but he's got that game, run-pass game, right? And maybe, right, maybe where they maybe, well, they rate Richardson, they're real tough on Richardson, but no one blew out the so-called combine like Richardson. You know, if people can shout to them any way they want to. Anyway, they want to. Brother's just a dope athlete, man. I mean, he's just got, you know, crazy overall athletics with the mindset to play QB. So based on how they brought Hurts along, I see Richardson, you know, being all right over there. I mean, Bryce can wing it. Frank Wright gets his, you know, he gets his 98th chance to see if he can coach him up.
Here's the thing. I think Young will do fine. I mean, yes, you know, they're gonna do a lot better. The thing with them is if they at least have somewhat of a human offensive line, it'll be okay. And the thing is, I think and also the fact that he basically named him basically day one. So they basically have said, you know, there's an old NFL Films line where you see Dick Vermeil talking to Ron Jaworski, said, you know, you don't have to worry about me pulling you or yanking your chain or whatever. So
right.
They basically, you know, they've already just basically said, okay, you're the guy. So
that's right. Well, he knows the position, right?
Right.
If you look at Wright, you know, he knew what he'd seen, you know, at the combine, right, and at the training camp in the first few days of practices. Guy's been around, man. You know, I mean, he's, you know, like you said, this time we got someone who's played the game. DeMarco's to be determined, you know, because he's a defensive guy. And he did have, you know, the Niners turned up, you know,
Who's their offensive
that I'm not aware of, right? You know, one Google search, you can find it, right? You know, but I don't know
absolutely.
Who that cat is.
Absolutely.
But DeMarco, defensive, I mean, he had the Niners turn way up on D, right?
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
He had him turn way up. And smart guy, astute brother, got leadership skills. Players want to play for him. They rally around him. And then again, he's had that experience when the Niners had to go through all those quarterbacks last year with Shanahan. You know, they've had a mix of QBs the last year. You know, they wanted to give it to Lance, right? And then Lance came on board. Then they went with Garoppolo, in and out with injuries. And then Purdy, and then they had no quarterback against Philly. You know, they took everybody out.
Purdy's going to start this year.
Yeah, right?
Hell
exactly.
Come hell or high water, pretty much.
Yeah, come.
You're going to start.
Yeah, I heard that. Come hell or Ricky water.
Thank
you know
you.
What I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, really.
You know what I'm saying?
Really.
Ricky Ward is the only brother I used to, be saying, I'm housing him. Coach, I'm housing him. So with that being said,
you ain't wrong.
And, yeah, right. I'm housing him. Coach, I'm housing him. You know, and so, you know, I mean, I kind of like to focus on the three. I mean, Herbert, I mean, no Super Bowls, right? He was part of the demise when Jacksonville came back, but I thought that was more in the coaching. That was horrible. Mm-hmm. And that guy still kept his
right.
job.
We'll see. That's the excuse they're going to use, is that, oh, he's had to change
okay,
the system.
Gotcha.
The built-in excuses that will always be there. The dog ate his playbook. You know,
the Chargers
all
need
stuff.
To do anything possible they can to get at least, 3% more of the market share, because L.A. football, pro football, is not winning, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the Rams host home games that stadium, and everyone travels to L.A. So all these teams that have a road game in Los Angeles, they've already got their, Disneyland tickets coupled with the football game, and they're going to dominate the stadium. That is a road trip stadium in the NFL.
Let's be fair. The best pro team, the best pro football team in LA is USC.
Riley, and plus, Chip can't flip it at UCLA. But yeah, I mean, that's a known fact. I mean, there's been times pre-pandemic, especially where SC could host a home game at the Rose Bowl. I'm sorry, at the Coliseum. And UCLA can host a home game at the Rose Bowl. And they almost both have 100,000 fans on the same Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Right? On the same Saturday. And if you look at the Rams, right, you may have, 40,000 Rams fans and 60,000 Steeler fans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And 20,000 of our cranky's cousins.
Because people want to see the big game. Yeah, B-caliber actors and actresses, But, so L.A., mm-hmm. they just can't draw them in. So when they left Los Angeles, those teams, they never been able to get that love back. And no matter what, Los Angeles still sees the Chargers as San Diego rejects. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't doubt that.
Oh, absolutely.
I wouldn't
absolutely.
Doubt that.
Absolutely.
No, they do.
Wait, wait. Even when they were in San Diego after the purge, they weren't really,
the Charger years, that Eric Coryell era, the Bobby, what's that dude? Bobby, what's his name? Was the head coach? He's the coach of the Lions.
Bobby Ross, Georgia Tech.
He had Wack Humphreys as his quarterback, right? And he got to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
LaDainian and Junior Seau era, they sold out, right? And they were doing well in those years. Right, because it was really the only identifier team. The one who's won the baggage on that are the Padres, right? Because now that's their only local, right? So the Padres are winning the box office, San Diego. But the Chargers have no inroad in Los Angeles at all.
I wouldn't doubt it.
So they got to get Herbert, right, to try to make him the draw, the stability dude. They're trying to sell tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And if things when they sign mm-hmm. Herbert, they're trying to identify him. Now, he started his career as a Los Angeles Chargers, right? Because they were out of San Diego when he got there, right? So
almost like when Willie Mays went
to San Francisco, they seen Willie always as a New York Met guy. So the most popular Giants were Marichal, McCovey, and Cepeda above Willie, because they started all in Frisco.
And And Justin Herbert might not have even started his rookie year if they hadn't assassinated Tyrod Taylor.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was wild, yeah.
Not like you're not getting your lungs punctured, huh?
Yeah, get a lung puncture and shit, yeah.
And the fellas,
that was raw.
The brother his job, too. Cost the brother his coaching job.
Here's the bottom line, guys. Watch this. Listen to this. Here's the bottom line. Herbert got paid. Wait till you see what they give Joe Burrow.
Oh, hey, they're going to trade the place. Though. If it ain't $1, he's going to get more. They're going to make sure he get $1 more.
No
shit.
I mean, it's desperate times, right? It's desperate times because they can't outnumber the influx of the talent coming into the NFL with melanin, right?
And don't think that they don't know that already.
Oh, you know what I mean? So we've seen this game before. But it's not going to win long to break him off, man. I mean, he still can't get past Mahomes. Wilson with Peyton there in Denver is going to be a new engine, right? Hopefully. You know,
jackass.
You know, hopefully. Right, so if Russell plays better, it's going to be the Peyton show. You already know he's going to get all the credit. So the thing being is, it's still a tough division. Kansas City's going nowhere. And San Diego cannot match them right now. Did they get rid of their running back to the brother number 30? He's not there no longer, right?
He's
they're gonna play him.
He's
still there.
They're playing. So he's getting the Saquon Barkley treatment, but he hasn't.
Okay,
I don't think he's
another one. Okay, so maybe since the brothers are also listening tonight, running back to the NFL are also tuning in tonight. When you go to your next Zoom meeting, invite T-Mac.
Gary Gray
and T-Mac need to go to the next NFL Running Back Cry Fest Zoom meeting. You know, and you know, I'll bring the refreshments remotely.
But Daniel Snyder's bringing for it. Make sure you give Daniel Snyder the bill.
They're gonna have to put Gary on mute. That's all I'm saying.
Well, speaking of the Commanders, no pun intended, minority owner Irvin Johnson.
Yes.
Jay-Z had a song, you know, I got 99 problems, you know, and my 1% ownership of the Nets is one, because all he had was 1%, you know.
What percent does Magic have? Is it 2 or 3%?
He's got like 1% of the Dodgers. He's got like 1% of the Dodgers.
They trade this
nigga
around like he's the head of the team.
How chocolate is it in the DMV? Whenever you need someone to promote the black brand, it's magic.
I can tell you right now, just everything gonna sell it.
Negro,
magic got to sell.
Negro online too.
Right.
And the longest aspect of the press conference when it was finalized, Who do they take most in the visuals? Magic Johnson.
Yeah. You're right. The celebs.
That's the mule. They're gonna ride his ass to his back brain. He's the mule.
Never mind they're gonna go 3-14, but you know, hey, we got Magic.
And they be lucky.
When Doug Wilder had
a chance to go ahead and bring a stadium, they moved heaven to hell. They're not. It's a certain brother that's the governor of Maryland, and they're already trying to cut his legs out about why they can't bring him to Maryland. But that's the best fight for it.
Yep. That's
the next move. They
do not want that brother to get credit.
Hey, T-Mac, have you received any latest media PDFs on Michael Jordan, who vowed to invest in the black community since what took place out in Minnesota? He vowed to, any updates on how much he has put into the community since he made his vow?
I have no idea.
Nah,
I know
nah,
one thing.
There
zero.
You go again. There
zero.
You go picking. There you go again.
It's zero.
You're going to get Professor upset now. Leave Professor fellow conservative alone.
Fred, I know one thing, Fred. He put 250 million in. He got back 3.2 billion.
I ain't mad at him.
You know, well, after you pay off the bogeyman who fronted the money, because we've never seen an official transaction.
Oh,
after the hedge fund bogeyman who did the branding thing, like magic time.
Money
you
overseas.
Always got a butt man, right? You always got a bogeyman. You always have a person who's doing that, right? But when you look at when you have an owner who played in the NBA and had a great majority of the young brethren buying his merch, sporting
still
his merch,
doing it. They got
making
football
his merch,
in his name.
Making his merch, right, a status symbol, basically, is what it is. And when in doing so, and you go to the owner's meeting and you vow to cut the pricing and the merch deals to the players. You vow to cut in their long-term health care. You are ordering, and the players got pissed off, shocked, blown away. People forgot in that year there was a 66-game season, and the worst winning percentage in NBA history is the 7-59 Charlotte Hornets Bobcats, whatever you want to call it, because the players extracted revenge on how this person went to that negotiation table. Facts.
Well, you know, take it
a step further.
Go for it.
Those are the Charlotte Hornets, not the Carolina Hornets. Because, in part, by agreement, Carolina is University of North Carolina Chapel Hill. That's eastern North Carolina, east of the Yankee River. The Charlotte Hornets reach across the state basically. You know, there's jerseys in the stores, the shoes, the works. But east of the Yankee River, which started running down about the middle of the state, that's the Charlotte Hornets area, which east is University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. The University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill drew better, even though they didn't make the playoffs, and they're still getting pumped about that. They didn't make the playoffs for the first time in God knows.
They have the worst revenues in marketing in the NBA. Check.
Got it.
Yes, they did.
And they have
check.
Michael Jordan was there. Michael made some horrendous, if not drastic, mistakes. Most of his, remember, you only get two draft picks per year. And some of the guys they bought in.
I mean, what's that mayonnaise spot in the state of North Carolina? Place that sells this, you know, like mayonnaise. I mean, that's like one of their top sponsors. I'm like, dang. I mean, they can't generate revenue. They have the lowest sponsorship dollars. They don't really make any loot. If it wasn't for the profit-sharing style of the NBA, that's the case. There's no attraction there. I mean, anytime you fire a coach like Steve Clifford, and then no one wants to work there, so they had to rehire Steve Clifford, who they fired a few years ago. I mean, they've gone over. Oh yeah, I mean, horrid. You know, and then they had a player last year. What was his name? Not Bridges, but he had to sit up the whole year for a domestic situation.
Right.
That's
their top pick they got this guy dealing with a potential criminal court case for allegedly handing the candy in a shooting incident that killed someone, right? Now, innocent is proven guilty, but as far as the public relations in that area, it's beyond horrid. And, you know, I remember Kenny Williamson, right? We talked about this, right, Patrick? I mean, Kenny was the director of scouting, you know, under the Bobcats, Bob Johnson. And he was like, my Jesus, Eric, man, listen, man, you know, I mean, I'm going to go for our team. Our next team bill is going to probably be Popeye. Because Bob wasn't putting no money into it. It was all status. I own the team thing. So I challenge someone to do the research on the transfer of ownership. Yeah, I challenge someone to do the research on the transfer of ownership from Bob Johnson to Jordan.
It was bad. It was awful.
Right, and see where the money, where was the money, why? I mean, I ain't going to get to the, you know, the FDIC level, but sometimes there's a, sometimes, you know, if you want to get, you know, in real estate, sometimes, you know, it's best to be added to the title. Because once you're on title, you can have ownership without any money movement.
Yeah. But now, see, That it's not a black thing that some people have tried to make it, because the owner that was there that took the pelt, took the old Hornet to New Orleans, at least they liked Michael. They hated him. He did little to embrace the city or the state. And if you know, just a little bit of geography tells you that the Charlotte Hornets play about 10 miles from South Carolina. And they have, and they did little, I mean, Columbia, South Carolina is like an hour and a half away, 2 hours away. Nothing.
JC, there was a lot of focus on the defense going into last year, and it really got better.
Whoever's listening to ESPN,
turn that shit off, please.
Right, I mean, that's a sports network background, yeah.
If it's ESPN, it must be a rerun. They fired everybody.
Well, someone's got it. Someone is streaming it into the call.
Now, there you guys go again, giving them all y'all secrets. They're getting bold now. They're streaming them. They stealing your stuff, T. They stealing it.
Man, that's some serious ham hot eating gremlins there.
No problem.
Mike, I want to touch upon something that I talked with somebody over last week or so. Concerning, we're talking about contracts. And I was going to say it on the last, you know, for the final words, but I think it deserves a more extensive conversation relative to what I was told extensively. You know, we just talked about the contracts that, you know, Herbert got in comparison to the other contracts. But there's something going on in NFL right now that is going to affect contracts in the future. I was told by someone in the know, folks I know who have ran the league, and here's what basically boils down to. The contracts that the NBA has, like, for instance, the NBA contracts now, it used to be, you know, it used to be sometimes 7 years, now 4 years, 5 years, 3 years, going to go to. Even the contract that the Browns.
Jaylen Brown just signed.
Yeah. How long? 5 years. Usually they stretch out to 7. What's going to happen eventually with the contracts of the NFL? What owners want to do is the owners want to formulate contracts in the future, because they have this 10-year guarantee negotiation with the CBA, is to tailor the contract like the NBA. A shorter time period
It's right now. I was told.
Yeah, like the rookie, deals, Pastor. Like
that's
the rookie deals for
these
quarterbacks.
It's going to happen,
and it's all guaranteed this time.
Yeah. So, I don't want to go into the length of the conversation, but the guy I know worked in two front offices. He said because that back end money, they don't want to. Now the contract that the Brown side is last year is $59 million. Of course, they're not going to get up football players, but they're going to cut back on those contracts final years because, first of all, they're going to never get it outside of their guaranteed money, but they're restructuring it right now, slowly but surely.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. It's always mythological. So, oh, $304 million. Ah, there's parameters.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's parameters.
Yes,
now, it goes
like
to show you the owners are just raking it in. So they got to dump some
very
of
much.
That, though. Right? I mean, you got to dump some of that, though. What was that joint, that movie, Bad Boys 1 or 2, one of them? And they showed that one. It was a great scene. They showed this one, you know, kingpin in South Florida. He couldn't launder anymore because
he had all this
money, and he had like stacks of cash in his basement. This was Bad Boys with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. I can't remember which one.
Was it two?
Okay, right. So the dude had rats in his basement eating the money because, you know, it had been
sitting there so long. That's Bad Boys.
Right? And he had a pipe leak and some of the money was mildewing. Then he seen the rats. He pulled out his gun and started shooting at the rats, destroying more money.
Yes.
He couldn't
yes.
do nothing with it. He couldn't move
yes.
the weight, right?
Yes.
Now, that's in contrast to this French soccer player, Mbappe, being offered $1.1 billion by the Saudis.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
$1.1 billion. Now.
You know what? They throw those numbers up there, and they look to shock you, but think about it. You know, what do you think a Willie Mays rookie card would be, or a Hank Aaron rookie card would be, or a Jim Brown rookie card would be? And then you look at a Joe DiMaggio rookie card, or Paul Horning rookie card, and you see the value. You know there's a huge disparity, and it's as simple as black and white. That's why when Ohtani signs the contract, you're going to see just what color money really comes out.
Mm-hmm. And it's coming out. And you know what today they said? The Angels, as if I didn't know, the Angels are not going to trade them.
They're the stupidest organization beyond 20 universes. If you move Ohtani out of Southern California with that Asian market that's there.
Thank you.
You know, I mean, that would be pure insanity because those Asian markets, they could care less if they go 1-161. The Angels.
Thank you.
And as long as Ohtani's out there, they're going to stack and pack it. The owners of Hispanic descent, right? You know, we know L.A., Los Angeles, Southern California is very dominant in Hispanic culture and citizens in numbers, correct? So you're always going to have that. I mean, Chavez Ravine, where the Dodgers play, they always do a 3 million plus in attendance, right?
Yep.
So SoCal still likes the baseball team. What the difference between what Ohtani brings, he brings a whole nother network of the market where L.A. fans who are of Asian descent are going to flip their hands to Angels real quickly.
Exactly.
And plus, that's part of the overseas market as well. So
that's
when Ohtani plays in Asia,
there you go.
Angels sell out. You know, they have way more broadcast things. So the Major League, by virtue of luck of having someone like Ohtani, been tapping and getting to that loot over in Japan, Singapore, Malaysia, places like that, you know. And so Aaron Judge ain't moving that needle in Japan, right, you know, but Ohtani is. And so that's why he's on the cover. So as a matter of fact, my son went to an Angels game where they did a Trout Ohtani bobblehead double thing. Brought me one back. I just hold on to these things. You know what I mean? But it's still a box and everything. But the insanity that went on for them bobbleheads blew my dome. right? Because I had no inroad to that world, you know, as an interest. But he was sharing to me, and then I see what took place. Ohtani's driving that needle, right? So if you're the Angels, you're making your money off Ohtani,
thank
and
you.
You're getting that. If you trade him, I mean, to whatever market is, and the owner just did a sellout, some backdoor deal where he may have got some stock with Mbappe and friggin' Saudi or some shit. Because it makes no sense fundamentally from a baseball professional position in marketing.
But you know what? They can't help it. They can't help the fact that they
true.
Can't stand the possibility of a brother making a couple of dollars. When Jalen Hurts made the money and they gave him a $51 million contract, Jackson got his contract almost a couple of months afterwards. And they had to say, what are they going to do? Should they get out the pot? Well, they got out the pot, and they gave Jalen, or rather they gave the San Diego quarterback all that money. And that was just outright poison that they went as far as they did and gave him that money. He can't live to that contract. And Joe Burrow can't live to that contract either, no matter what the fuck ESPN tries to say.
I mean, and somewhere Patrick Mahomes is saying WTF because he's brought the goods. When they broke him off, they lost their mind, and now they're breaking him off more than Mahomes.
Yep, and with Mahomes' contract, he's only made the money back. that's a killer. But now can Herbert make the money back? That's the trick. I doubt it.
Man. Well, Mahomes is totally, I mean, a universe on that one, right? Because he delivered with the championship, easily the most popular player in the National Football League, easily.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, you know, he's done a lot of local investment in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Kansas City head. You know, he got a stock in the women's soccer team for his wife, right? You know, he got invested in the Royals for his dad. Because he had the baseball interest. And so he's doing other things as well within that community. He's, like, locked in. So now he's beyond the Chamber of Commerce symbol, but he can deliver flat ball out, right? And
hell
has the attitude to be greedy as hell and keep it going. And plus he's tucked away in a spot like Kansas City, which is a little bit better than if he was running the show in L.A., or New York, you know, shit gets crazy in those places when you're at that apex, right? So now he's not, what, the third highest paid quarterback with all what he's done?
Really?
And he'll be fourth soon when Burrow gets his contract.
Yeah, he'll be fourth. And now you've got the brother Brown, right, on the NBA contract, signed the longest contract in NBA.
303.
Right, exactly. You know, the sevens all lined up. War number seven, $304 million. That's 3 + 4 = 7. He did it on the date when you add the date up. It all told us the seven as well when you make a single digits, right? So I don't know. Maybe some magic shit the brother got working with him, which is good. But now you'll have Doncic, right, and the dude they love so much in Denver. They're going to be like, well, what about me? If he's 304 million.
And let's see how many. Yes, my man said when they formulate that contract, is it going? It ain't gonna be 7 years. It's gonna be 4 or 5, and that's it. Because that yes. They don't want to pay that $80 million or $70 million at the back end and be like James Harden with the big contract, and he can't get it last year. Is he gonna average 12 points a game?
Absolutely.
And you paying $80 million.
Now they got a way of cutting it down.
Exactly right.
That's what happened with Zion, right? Zion can't, you know, get out. He can't get out of the FTX down there in New Orleans in the gumbo and the biscuits, you know. And he can't get off that. And so they unguaranteed his contract, right? Which sounds to a person on the outside, like, did they break him off? No, there's these clauses in the contract where they can unguarantee the money. They can invoke that clause.
They were burning as they went along because Bryant Reeves, when he signed the contract in Vancouver when the Grizzlies were there, they called him Big Country. He was just one of them stupid-ass country boys. He literally ate his way out the league. After the first season, they
John
sent
Williams.
People with him down to Gans, Oklahoma, to keep an eye on him. And he literally ate his way out the league. The next season, he couldn't play for shit. And the third-string center, Massenburg, outplayed him clearly. As much as I thought Stu Jackson was a good dude, he read this one wrong, and he was wrong with a capital W.
Dude read a lot of shit wrong. Yeah, he's a good dude. You're right about the good dude thing. But, yeah, basketball acumen, man. It's like my man Sam Mitchell, right? He's on NBA TV. Sam's good brother, man. Can't knock his hustle. Can't knock him as a brother. You know, I mean, this, that, and the other, man. My goodness, though. When you put him on the sideline, I'm like, Sam, what are you seeing?
Really?
You know, the record, yeah, the teams, man. My goodness gracious. It's like, you know, I'm watching. I'm trying to figure out, yo, Sam. I mean, Sam's got an incredible losing record. He did get a coach of the year with Toronto. Right,
yep, yes,
you know,
he did.
And he did get it. Mm-hmm. Like I said, solid brother. I mean, you know, as you know, from the brother standpoint, plus. But X and O's, right? We got to, when you do the evaluation of X and O's, if you have some decent talent, it just wasn't transcendent.
Not wrong.
That's what you're talking.
Not wrong.
And I say that the same as Stu, right? Good brother, great, a basketball man to the fullest. Works at the NBA office. I think he's with the Big East now. I don't know.
Yeah, he's with the Big East.
Yeah, he's with the Big East. He does a lot with USA Basketball. He was the guru when the Vegas Summer League got turned up to the 30-team level. He was the, you know, the director that got all that worked up and organized, and you know, had all the, you know, the GPS routes done so all the teams can get in the hotel, organized, set up the game, where now it's like really, it's a huge summer moneymaker for the National Basketball Association. So Stu had his fingerprints on the uptick on that. There were some local guys there that was handling it for many years, but Stu got involved and turned it way up. Been pulled out of there. So you know, he's worked with the referees. He's done a lot of great manager. I think his best basketball is executive levels or those kinds of things.
Yes.
Organizer. But X and O coach-wise, what you're saying, Mike, no, you're not wrong. There's a deficiency in that coaching.
And guess what? You know, I see Stu all the time. I've done two interviews with him.
Right.
At least two interviews with him, particularly at the Big East press conference. And I always give him a nod every time I see him. But
right.
You know, you're right. The fact that he's been able to, segue into the executive level and do well, as we all know, white boys get a new job and may have known squat from a P. because of their last name.
Dave Gavin Jr. is 38.
Yes.
Right. If you link up with the name game, you know, you get grandfathered in, right?
Please, don't get me started. Guys, he got jobs, you know, I mean, now look at Huey Brown's son. When I was in the Nets, he was the video coordinator. From the video coordinator to a executive level and got busted on some bullshit, and you hardly even hear about it. If that had been me and you, every time we'd be on TV, they'd been mentioned. Come on.
Well, look at the guru. What's the dude? Colangelo.
Oh,
right.
God.
Yeah. And then his son, Brian. BC, as they call him. Now, BC got a good rap for you, you know, because he's been around the brothers a long time, and you follow what I'm saying, right? So he's got the right rap in the public thing. What's up, BC? Oh, yeah, woo 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 woo, right? But when he was a Philly and decided to create a dummy blog to leak shit of injuries that was going to play up, and then tried to cover the shit up.
Yeah, that's rough,
man.
But he's Jerry Colangelo's son, right? So Colangelo runs Arizona Sports, right? He brought the Suns there.
Yes.
He brought the baseball team there.
Yes.
Yada, yada, right? And he did USA Basketball, all that. So he did good work with all that, you know, in fairness. But he was juiced in for a long time. So then BC comes up, Brian Colangelo Jr., went to Toronto, tried to turn that into NBA European East. That was really what they targeted him for. Right? It didn't work out a little bit. Then he got out the league. Then went to Philly. Now he's jimmying and hijacking and creating, you know, leaks of false data on his own players. And then gets popped and put it to his wife wrote out.
That's some bad thing.
Yeah. So horrible.
And Mike, you know this more than anybody else. Philly's the wrong place to do that in. It's the wrong city to do that in, man.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
I mean, that was a pure, that's back to the nepotism call that rules, you know, and the National Basketball Association for many years, you know, would hire their son to be a coach. I mean, it kind of worked out like, you know, Bernie Bickerstaff's son, right? He coaches Cleveland. Right.
There's only one thing worse than a small market. Mm-hmm. It's a large market that turns into a small market. Philly is an example of a large market that turned into a small market. Doc Rivers went there to coach. He thought Philly's got this thing fixed now. He fucked up. He couldn't make it in a couple years.
Good way of saying it.
You know?
Good way of saying it.
You got Kansas City, who's fluctuating around the mid-range size city. Kansas City is making money hand over fist. And because they made a solid investment from get-go, they've already made that money. Now, how many times can you have a contract where you made the money on the contract and you're making money still?
To your point, Michael. I mean, that's a great point. See, that's that Mahomes factor again, because your brothers here have been covering sports for a long time, you know. And so, if you ask someone, or any of us, perhaps, or some of y'all as well, has been in the game up front end for so many years, would Kansas City be a host city for the NFL draft? Right? You would say no way. No one's going to Kansas City for no NFL draft, man. That size city, hotel size, whatever, that thing took off in Kansas City.
And guess what? And in Memphis, too. And they're fooling Memphis. My goodness. God. Please. They went crazy in Memphis. And your point's good. But here's a trick with that, man. We also have to realize what people don't realize, that even though the NBA is a corporation that would establish itself as premier, it's still, in a lot of ways, it's a small company because it's closed circles. It still is today.
The city of Kansas City is still, you know, counting all the loot they made during that time frame. Dining, merch, hotels, travel.
Yep.
They took off. Right, they made that whole city got broken off in full just by having that draft there. What, 3 days, 2 days? How long was it there? You know, over the weekend, and then they had like an outdoor venue. They put it on really well, and they had all that travel coming into Kansas City. This also what happens a lot of times when you become a host city. It happened in Atlanta when they hosted the Olympics. You get that international crowd. Then these international crowds come and visit the city. Then they like it so much they make it their permanent home. So you get an influx of increasing population, and the ones who do these events, they're also going to be investing in homes, right? And other things like that, you know. And then in a remote work world, all these things take place. So Kansas City is still winning after winning the Super Bowl, and then what they're hosting, and then Kansas City has become like an epicenter marquee sports town. Who would have thought it?
And here's a perfect example. Along with that, that's what LeBron did for Cleveland. Because what LeBron did for Cleveland, downtown, bruh, it's like night and freaking day when he was there.
You are correct.
Anybody that when he left a Burgess jersey, ought to be kicked at their ass. Because what he did to that town over a 7-year period, oh, give me a freaking break.
Well, no one knew that better than that. You know, I'm gonna refrain today from strong adjectives, Dan Gilbert.
No one knew that better than him. Yeah.
I mean, he watched his coiffures flip from the doldrums, right? When they kept giving him number one picks. He's one of the NBA good fellas, right? He's one of totally a made man in the NBA thing. And, you know, they struggled, but they kept giving them Kyrie Irving. They kept giving them, you know, number one pick. They went to the lottery every freaking year. Then LeBron circled back. And once LeBron broke him off with the championship game of the year,
brother, please.
It was like, you're free to go, LBJ. Thank you. We got our loot, and we got our establishment. And now they have a really nice team, and he restores the love for the Cavaliers, and they do very well attendance-wise after LeBron.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
They do very well attendance-wise.
I like the way you said that, Eric. I like the way you said that. They let him win, and he broke him off, and they said, thank you very much. And
you're free.
He's clear.
Yeah.
He's clear.
You're free.
You made your bones. Goodbye. Go off into the sunset.
Thank you. Thank you, Bron Bron, you know, and, off he goes to L.A. to, establish his, he's got some tough challenges right now, hope his son recovers real quickly.
Yes, indeed.
It's very tough. It's very
tough
for any person at that age, let alone at any age to have cardiac arrest, especially so young. So that's really tough there, but. It was the same situation that Shaquille O'Neal's son had not too long ago, and they're friends, believe it or not. They hang out in SoCal, and Shaq's son, Sharif, had heart issues, just that and the other. So, that's a tough one. But it also happened at campus of SC, and I won't go into, fuck it. I already brought it up. Excuse my language. Armond Armstead, Eric's older brother, was playing at SC, defensive tackle. He had cardiac arrest, and he blamed it on U.S. Well, I won't say blamed. It was a lawsuit. It's all official. It's public. I know his family, so they wouldn't be in a position where they would think this was being over-disclosed because it's been out there for a number of years. Now it's been years since this happened. But they sued, USC, saying that however they treated him or gave him maybe a painkiller. I can't recall what it is. It could be easily researched, but that's something that, triggered him having a cardiac arrest while on the campus of SC, and that was a lawsuit there. The lawsuit even reached national attention where even Nightline covered it, as well. Me personally, when I seen that again on the SC campus, the cardiac arrest thing, it's not a first for an athlete on the SC campus.
And I guess that's why they're required to have that ES machine, whatever, a thrilling machine at every practice.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
That's why I got sent care so fast.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go, and so, when you see these scenarios like that, but, it's kind of interesting, because a young man like that, and this is just general kind of analysis, a young man like that, and I've seen this, they, at his level, in basketball being a focus of concentration, I will guarantee he has played more competitive basketball games of some type, be it AAU, national travel, high school, whatever, workout, than a fifth-year senior who loves basketball at a Division III school.
I can concur.
Guarantee you, at this age, he's played already way more games than that person.
I agree.
The two-a-day games in the AAU circuit, the national travel, the constant tear, the constant pickup, the constant push.
Yep.
It's tough.
Yep, I agree 100%.
That's why
I suggest certain kids play different sports to get a different kind of a metabolism.
Where
your body
do you take your foot off the gas?
Thank you.
And then, what's this, Bruce Lee, right? Now Bruce Lee's got all, the history. Bruce was all about power and force.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Nothing in his training, research, bios have anything in there where he talks about relaxation. Nothing.
There you go.
Zilch. And if you try his workout or what he suggested, and yours truly is the greatest person who test to my wife, so you'll try all kinds of concepts, right? Legitimately concepts. The torque it puts on your mental force and your neurochemistry is intense because you're driving
that power from your
neurochemistry.
Fuck yeah.
You hear what I'm saying? And
yep.
There was no old school ancient Chinese groups. Did it so that dude literally burnt out. Literally.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
Eric,
he short-circuited. Yes.
Eric, you're close to just so fast, like, at least where basketball.
Break, breaking up a little bit, Fred.
Yeah, we can't hear you.
Okay. The downside of all that.
There you go.
The downside of all that is these kids don't have a break.
Mm-hmm. No.
These kids, it's between, okay, you go to, like they just had one, I think in Atlanta. And if you missed, panel reunion because of that. And even the other guy who plays lacrosse, they'll do 3 weeks, take a week off. But basketball, the better players, you have to be at this particular tournament, shall we say. You move from there to the next demand tournament. And basketball is worse than work because at least work to get a day off. Between traveling, raising money, and all this other stuff, this travel thing to me is, first, it's a big racket. But
It's a huge racket. No question.
I don't see the benefits to kids because in too many cases, they're not being taught fundamentals and gamesmanship. I mean, I watched them almost fight over opening tip off because this is how silly and out of control some of this stuff is.
It's way out of control. These parents, I mean, they're done, you know, mentally. I mean, with this shit, you know. I mean, I've been up close and personal, and when I was a prep coach. You know, I star players, you know, they went on to play, you know, in Cali Division One schools, this, that, and the other, moved on. And these AAU, you know, coach, for lack of a better word, that's not a good word, the word AAU for me in today's world, would want them to play these tournaments, this, that, and the other. It was just overkill. These young people are just going through overkill. As a matter of fact, you know, my sons, they went to SAC Charter, right? At the time, Pam McGee, that's Kevin Johnson's school, right, that he set up here to do the St. Hope thing. It's not a religious thing, but it's a cool little – I call it like private public. He did a phenomenal job there education-wise to focus. Kevin's that dude, man. He is about the education. He is about helping the brothers out. He do understand giving things. Total sign-off for Kevin. You know what I mean? 100%. Dealt with him up front and personal. He gets it. And so, you know, they had teams that went to the state finals. My son's state final team lost to Clay Thompson in the final. You know, Santa Margarita, Clay shot him out, still letting him go now, right? And so that was their environment. So there was players, which I won't name, that went on to play D1, national recruits, this, that, and the other. But the amount of practice I would see, in other words, I remember one parent said to me, he said, man, I'm in this gym so much, I think I'm on the team. Overkill.
Talking about overkill. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what?
Overkill.
Eric, there's one thing worse than overkill, and that's just killed.
It leads to that.
I got to ask Gary this. Gary, what's it like listening to sports on local TV? I mean, Oakland's teams are gone. The newspaper can't generate a sports section, and sports is your cash cow. Not trying to be funny when it comes to adding revenue to the paper. What's it like? I mean, Oakland is a sports wasteland now.
Well, this week, the San Francisco Giants
closed
the Oakland A's in a 2-game series.
Yes, they did.
They have a 45,000 game. They never get
that. Uh-huh.
And
that
tells me that the A's need to stay open.
Yeah, they're out. They are so out. It's not even a conversation. The thing is about, if you look at, you know, again, we cover it all. If you look at the 70s swinging A's, right, the Reggie A's, Sal Bando, Campanaris, Catfish, them dudes. If you look at how many people were in that same stadium back then, it's just incredible. I mean, that place is blown out thick with fans, right?
Eric, explain this to me. You had the world champion A's.
Mm-hmm.
You had the NFL champion Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
You had the world
I mean, Oracle was just, you know, an awesome place to watch a game, to be frank. You know, that Arena Rock, that's when they won their championships there. You know, they got it in Frisco, but those Oracle days, and I'm kind of fine to Oracle from a personal standpoint because they used to have the high school NorCal championships there. And we won in that building. You know, it was Oakland Coliseum back then. So I coached on that floor, and our uniforms were gold and blue, and that's when they had the old school warrior symbol with the state of California with the star. That was the symbol on the floor back then. So, you know, I mean, I was fond of going there even more than here locally with the Sacramento Kings things, but it's just
Michael,
in markets, right?
When the Golden State Warriors did was a signal to the Washington Football Club. And they moved from Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
The San Francisco, what's the first thing they do? They drop the Indian logo.
The Warriors' original emblem is named after Native. It's a cartoon image of a one feathered bandana wearing, holding a bow and arrow, skinny Native American replica is who the Warriors were, right? But the first team out there were the Oakland Oaks before they came from San Francisco Warriors. So the San Francisco Warriors was where they started, right? So they played at the Cow Palace in Frisco when Wilkes was running. They weren't Oakland then, right? Oakland Oaks, ABA team, kind of wet the soil.
Yeah, Oakland.
Yeah. The ABA team, that was the first pro basketball team there, was the Oakland Oaks. ABA. So in other words, when they went back to Frisco, San Francisco, San Francisco people don't like hearing the word Frisco, but when they went to San Francisco, yeah, they don't call it. They don't date down with the Frisco shit. You know what I mean? So, you know, other people from out of bounds, we'll call it Frisco. Even though I'm down the road from you, G. And so right across, so when they went back to San Francisco, it was like we just returned home, right? Hey, we started here. We're back here. No big deal. Wilton them all played in San Francisco. The Oakland days were cool. And that was the end of that. So it made sense. They built their own arena off the wharf, major tourist area. Right, you know, I mean, but, you know, they got that Chase Bank thing. We all know that Chase Bank, was made all their bones in the slave trade. So I'm always anti the word Chase Bank. Chase Bank, them brothers be running up and down the floor to slaveholders, right? But what's new? That's the fact. Mm-hmm. That's who Chase Bank is.
Yeah.
Right? So is Barney's, right? The clothing. You know, Barney's made their money selling money to slaves and shit.
So is Carnegie Mellon.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So Chase Bank, we're
Brown,
in Chase
Brown.
Arena. Yeah, we're in Chase Arena. I mean, Chase always has made their bones, their money on the slave. And their apology doesn't work. Right?
Reminds
that's the
me
fact
that
there.
Reminds me of that line from the movie Triple X State of the Union, where a brother says, the fate of the world in the hand of gangsters and thieves. And he said, why should today be any different? That's the damn truth. That's for real.
Keep it
at 1,000. So, I mean, as far as, you know, I mean, don't get caught up in, like, these teams. That's the fanboy bullshit, right? Get caught up in this thing. Look at it objectively from businessmen. Yeah, you know, we all know brothers who came up or, you know, we have affiliated. We have a different view of sports. And if that's an opportunity for them to pursue careers, because when cats will come to me and say, well, I want to go this direction in sports, right? I want to have a professional career. What should I prep for? You got to keep them 100. Right? You know, we said, listen, you're going to get involved and probably end up doing some few things you don't want to do if you want to maintain a long career. You know, but you can still maintain your soul. You can still maintain your dignity. You still can find a way to invest and do things right in the community. But the longer you, you know, segue into that, you become so distant we can't even recognize you at a certain point in time. Other than, yeah, that's my man, da-da-da. That's how it is.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
I mean, the keep it 100, so... The thing is, you know, I have people, and you know, I'm sure you may have the same. They say, well, like, knowing what you know, how can you explore? I said, well, I like to, you know, the strategy part of this. You know, the objectivity. There's still components you have to utilize. But when we start getting in the range of stadiums and teams moving, that is so above the average fan's pay grade, they couldn't even comprehend the business
Thank
behind it,
much.
Even if you laid it out.
There you go.
They have
right.
no clue.
This move by the A's is devastating. It's devastating. Why is that?
Well,
because
when the Raiders
of
left,
the city will be broken, completely broken. After
the Raiders,
the third leading revenue of the Bay Area. It's gone.
Well. I mean, one thing about San Francisco's no apocalypse. That town is effed up in every language. And then there's sections of Oakland that are very unsightly. Without me going into it, in terms of
right.
the revenue streams, in terms of a lot of things, just something just ain't right. Chiefs sweat multiplied by thousands. Singing that song, and plus the stadium location, even though it had a great location right off the 405, right, Gary? It's at the 405, where the stadium is located, it's not too far from one of the base spots. I mean, it's really easy access points, but, that part of the community of Oakland, is challenged. And if you want people to come in and pay them tickets, they've been looking to bounce. And so the tech industry runs that arena. The tech industry dominates the season ticket, the new season ticket.
Hey, that's what happened, yes.
Yes,
they do.
They dominate that. And the tech industry says, we are not hanging out in Oakland. We're not investing there.
That's what happened.
And the fan base in Oakland came from the South Bay. When they moved to San Francisco, it became Santa Clara, it became Palo Alto, it became San Francisco, it changed the whole dynamic of who was going there.
But frankly, that is a trash bin stadium, incredible trash bin stadium.
Yeah,
and it's been that way for years. I mean, don't go. The restrooms are so prehistoric, man. You're gonna be looking to think that when you're walking into the restroom, you're getting ready to get down as a gladiator in the Roman Coliseum.
I'm gonna tell you what happened. Horrible facilities. What happened to the Yankees when they went to Oakland the last time they were there? But the possum, they showed it all over New York. They were going, what?
And that's
that
mind-boggling
bad?
To people back then. Yeah. Mind-boggling. The stadium is trash, man. I remember,
the
stadium is absolute, it's archaic.
Get out of here.
When Reggie Jackson was playing with the A's in the early years before they started winning, they were at the 5,000 fan crowd level back then. So it wasn't all this hip, hip, hooray-ish. It was a very small crowd. Dave Stewart, who grew up in Oakland, right, did a lot of work in Oakland. Now currently, exactly. Now currently does broadcast work on the Bay Area, A's channel. That's good work, I think he did some GM work for a little bit with Arizona.
Yes, he did
some sports agent work as well, right?
Yep.
So Stu, So Stu, as he's called, grew up in Oakland, like Ricky, Ricky Henderson. So they had that cool little segue from being in the community, then becoming an Oakland Athletic. They even called the field Ricky Henderson Field. And so Stu, when he was a young man, MC Hammer too, right? He was the bad boy. That was Charlie Finley's go-to dude.
Yeah,
Stanley Burrell. Now, a.k.a. MC Hammer, they said he looked a lot like Hank Aaron. That's where he got the new word Hammer from as a child. So all that kind of community thing you find with the Oakland A's and the black community, which is very unique when you look at baseball parks. So what Dave Stewart and them used to do, they were friendly with Reggie, right? So they would watch his car. When he would roll up and park his car, make sure no one touched it. When the game ended, Dave Stewart and his friends, Reggie, would take them in his car and drop them off Yeah. Right? And who would have thought later Stu would throw no hitters for the A's, all that stuff, but that was the connection. So, yeah, it had that kind of, you know, locale thing, but it's, you know, unfortunately the time's come and gone. You know, that stadium
yes,
is
sure.
horrendous.
Yes.
Facility.
And you made a very good statement about the tech crowd. Here's a classic case of the tech crowd. It's real simple to me. You know, you talked about how good the Oracle was, and it, obviously it was a fabulous place.
Yeah, it was cool.
Part of,
very cool.
And the legacy was is unquestioned. However,
yes.
when the new owners came on, those four guys, and mm-hmm. bought that team for $600 million, now it's worth close to $7 billion. That's
right.
why they're in the stadium that they're in now.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Right.
No
right.
question. I mean, to the point that they even financed. One of the dudes is a showbiz cat, you know what I mean, that's part of that team. You know, he's
they financed the whole
in
thing.
Houston. Yeah, they did. I mean, they weren't even reaching out for city funding where the Oakland people are looking for, you know, city finance, all that shit. No, they broke it off. They went out of pocket. They did a lot of out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
you know, but
yeah.
again, they link with Chase, so fuck them. You know, Chase Bank and their historicals. That's what it is, folks. So with the Athletics, you know, besides them having that between the first base and third base line, I mean, what, 100 yards between that and the friggin' stands and shit? You know how many batting averages get dropped on routine pop-ups, you know, off those lines? But they had some great years, the La Russa years, you know, when they were winning. Dave Henderson and them brothers was balling out, where they were always competitive. They still had a good run. But that was when the Levi fam, the Strauss family, we had some money in them, you know, was investing. But it's all changed now. So now basically the owners have been dumping. Billy Beane gets all this love and as the mastermind. What has he done with that? He dumped contracts
and
the best players
yet.
Every year.
Yep. Anyone nothing yet?
Nope. Nothing. It's
ain't
still
won nothing yet.
And he's still there.
I went to a no-hitter back in 78, 99.
Who was it, Vida?
There were only 3,000 people there.
Yes, correct.
Yes, I think that's a good place to leave it.
It's always
a good place.
So in other words, that rah-rah shishu bah about Oakland fan thing. Now, when the Raiders done the chicken, so to the point about upset what Gary's talking about, when the Raiders last game, they were ready to burn the stadium. Those people were so pissed the Raiders were leaving again.
I saw that.
You know, because that's like a religious thing to these Raider fans up here in North Carolina. I mean, to be frank with you. But you know what?
Yes.
Even then, it was, you know, so Vegas, I mean, if you could go from Vegas, I mean, from Oakland to Vegas, Vegas sells out, you got to go.
Wait, Al Davis was at war with the NFL. You know why? Because Al Davis wanted to be the commissioner of football.
Yeah, that's
he
long
said,
time.
No, you ain't going to be the commissioner of football.
He was AFL commissioner.
Yes, he was.
You know, for a few, AFL.
Now,
his beef with Rozelle goes back a number of years, primarily when he won that lawsuit to move the team was when it really got hot. You know what I mean? That's when it was like lights out. When he wanted to move to Irwindale and build a stadium because he was, again, getting no love in Oakland. Then he figured he could get some more ticket money to finance the show. They built Mount Davis, which is a monstrosity, into the stratosphere stadium, right? No one sits up there. I mean, my goodness, if you sit up there, you definitely, you know, will be wondering, have you ascended? It's just no way that's comfortable. The breeze, the winds of the Bay Area, as choppy as it gets, horrible. No one ever used it. So they got it all, you know, blacked out. Where was St. Raiders all blacked out? It was poor. He maxed it out. He did what he can, but it was, again, a riggedy, raggedy stadium. The right move every time business-wise is Vegas. Now, any and every time because They sell out all sports events, be they the WNBA, the hockey team, the NFL.
Yep.
And they're going to show a lot of love for the athletics because they never had a pro baseball team. And plus, people are sitting in the stands. Shit, maybe 70% of the fans, I could be exaggerating, have placed a bet on the A's that night.
You better believe it.
You better believe it. You hit it around there. They'll sit in the stands and bet. Some will cash.
Right.
Some will leave. Everybody will be all right. I think that's a good place to leave it. Reggie, you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, close it out for us, brother. Put his final thought on the board.
Well, first of all, thank the Deacons for Defense of Justice for showing up tonight, gentlemen. Appreciate giving the intellect of the Nazarene. And we thank Mike for his nuptials that are coming up. But two weeks ago, I had the fortune or misfortune going to need the gas to get, a colonoscopy. At 64 years old and having leukemia, blood disease, I got from being a jarhead, a.k.a. Leatherneck, back in the day down there in Cherry Point, North Carolina. And I'm trying to get this lawsuit, but you know how it's dealing with the government. They pulled two polyps out of me. All I'm saying is, gentlemen, that you had to go get yourself checked. If the polyps had ruptured, hey, trust and believe, I might have been like my cousin, which we had a family reunion last year in Rockmount, North Carolina, a.k.a. Edgecombe County. And I get a picture this week saying she made her transition to be daughter of your ancestor at 25 years old. It's a hurting thing, but life can be here today and gone tomorrow. So all I'm saying, gentlemen, on a serious note, get yourself checked. That's all I got to say.
Power to you, brother. More power to you. Health and wealth, more power to you. Mm-hmm. Ashe.
That's real world stuff.
Ashe,
right there.
Ashe.
Patrick?
I'm in the midst of trying to get into one of these NFL camps, which is becoming more difficult because we got these people, the new breed of junior executives running stuff. Oh, they kill me. But in particular, I want to get to Jeff camp because which is going to be difficult because it's going to be a little easier for Hard Knocks is in there now. That's going to be a freaking joke. But the trick is the amount of craziness of Jet fans around here has gotten to the point it's almost as bad as the Dallas Cowboys saying that they're going to the Super Bowl.
Here we go.
Oh, please. I'm with Louis Riddick. Unless they win, shut up. Relax. Make the playoffs and see where you can go from there. With all this other stuff that's going on, believe me, it's horrendous around here with Jets fans.
Is that hype?
Yes, it is. I believe it too.
It's hype as high as the Kilimanjaro. I'm going, Jets fans are going. Okay, the Jets fans and the Cowboys fans are right now the most delusional fans in the NFL. They are going crazy.
There you go.
So in other words, the Jets are dominating the back pages over the Giants?
The whole paper.
Wow.
And the merchandise is selling like crazy.
Seeing Rodgers jerseys everywhere?
Oh, Rodgers. And guess what? They came out, Greenberg came up with the throwback jersey they're going to use, the number 8. He wore it on ESPN about 2 days ago. That sucker is.
Greenberg did some marketing, huh?
Yes. Because he's a long time Jet fan. He's a long time Jet fan. But
you know what I mean? I mean, he's got that public forum, and if he sports it, he's got people who follow what he does. Then they're going to invest in that jersey because no one was buying Jet gear.
Yeah, except for Jet fans. But now everybody wants to buy because everybody wants to be follow bandwagon. I'm saying be careful. Like Louis Riddick said, if you don't get the Super Bowl, shut up. That's it.
I guess I better break out my Abdul Salam jersey.
It might
That's
work.
A joke. That's a joke. That's a joke.
That's a good one. Professor. Professor, come on in here. And I'll talk to you after the show. Professor, come on in.
Professor in the house?
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. You know, I love the conversation this week, and I love the fact that somebody mentioned Browning. But, you know, back to what Eric and I were discussing about this week, all this traveling and all this stuff for sports.
Two games a day.
We did it for fun. You know, we did it for fun. We did it for relaxation. We did it for whatever reason we did it.
But
we always kept things in proper perspective. You know, these young men and young women are spending, you know, I know families who have gone in the literally gone in the hole and lost a lot behind their delusion that their kid is going to be the next whoever. And the sad part is there is no recovery. And if you're not careful, you're going to drive a wedge between members of your family and all those kinds of things. And best for people to understand, it's still just a game that some people will learn but what they forget, there's more money in managing and administering the game than there is playing it. I don't care how many
people. Right.
And if you got a child, if you know someone that's a career dealing with this several times with my family's great grandchildren now. And the kind of stuff that we're telling them up front. Learn the business behind the game rather than just looking for learning the game. Because if you don't know the business behind the game, hey. My shining example, and Reggie's going to love this. Stephen A. makes millions talking about basketball. He ain't never really played. And the guy on one of the TV shows talking about, he just said, but no, you got to remember, he didn't play, but he got his education. He makes more than a lot of players. 14 weeks is his primary. His primary check is $14 million a year. Okay. How many players in the league make $14 million a year?
He's not waking up with ice pack on both knees.
That's that right.
Hey,
when walking through the security.
He can wake up and do the game for real versus having to take shots and stuff. You know, and that's all I'm trying to get across with. Make sure there is a billion way out. Learn to get behind me. You can play longer and better. Because he wasn't the only one in that class that came out and made millions. Boris Bagel made millions, and Boris was in the game, but he never played a minute.
There you go. Professor, nice time. Nice work. Eric, come on in.
Me?
In the U.S., they just passed whoever was playing.
You mentioned me, Mike?
1-1.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I don't want to get too granular. You know, you got to do certain things to get certain money to do certain things. So we want to, you know, keep it on the 100 space because the same thing, be it Oprah Winfrey, right? You know, she's a billionaire, right, out of an HBCU. And then as it's done all kinds of investiture, even looked at maybe franchise buying. So the key is not to be a one-trick pony in whatever it may be, you know, to get the knowledge and also the, above anything else, which is a challenge because I don't push the dollar thing, right? Because I feel like, you know, if you do certain things, the money follows, you know, I'm not going to quote no spiritual thing, but it says, you know, if you, you know, I'm always a character cat, you know. I mean, sometimes we got to do things that people don't understand that they may define as not really on point or something, but men got to do what they got to do. And at the time, it's the right, that was the right decision call, whatever it may have been, and it was done with integrity. And the right level of integrity and instinct with no malice, it was always the right call, regardless of what the results or the observation is. To the point of talking about health, to the point of talking about, you know, pushing the agenda unrealistically, you know, pursuing, you know, these hoop dreams or whatever other dreams you may have, that they're all in coordination where it's so much delusion in all these things and there's so much investment to keep the youth deluded. There's only 300 jobs in the NBA. You know, I mean, there's millions are chasing it worldwide, but there's only 300 jobs.
Yeah.
Black media position on a network, there's not many of those jobs, to be frank. You know what I mean? Paying at that particular level, right? Yet there's other things. There's not many of those. I mean, so those, that's hope dream too. If you got 200,000 people grinding for that one spot, you see them segue on all these little small nations, you know, small little sports talk shows, all these little radio affiliate things with the whole goal. They can do certain things, you know. No, you have to have a certain bit of panache. You have to have a certain bit of, you know, connectivity, and you have to have a certain ability of self-sacrifice that can make that happen. So, in other words, if that's your trajectory, you're still going to need that connect, right? Because it all comes down to connect and who gets comfortable with you. If they're not comfortable with you, talent won't roll out. That's what happens so often in sports. These young people go out and they know they got the talent and ability, yet the analysis and those who are going to break up the check look at them and go, you know what, this is a person who's a little too much light in his eyes. He's not going to play ball with it, but he could change the trajectory of the whole thing. We need more Chattel. This cat ain't Chattel, too free spirited, right? We know about that stuff. So people get disappointed when they realize they get passed up, not because they weren't, quote unquote, some more talent. They, in many cases, were. They just didn't fit the grid for what Massa wants because he's been studying your ass for 200-plus years. So we got some bootlickers out there who get the public venue, this, that, and the other because they have already compromised. And once you compromise, you're forever compromised, regardless of how many HBCU jackets you wear. Right? It doesn't matter. We know that's fluff. So I say that to say because there's young people who see the fluff, who look at it. They see the clown. They see the buffoonery, and they want to do it to integrity and whole. And so, you know, pushing these agendas, you know, I mean, the basketball thing is way out of control. It's out of bounds. You know, I mean, I'm going to word it this way because, you know, it'll be easy to pick up. There was a recent tragic event, you know, where a young lady, you know, who father was a prominent athlete, played basketball, and unfortunately with other young people lost their life. When the autopsy was done, you know, now you gotta have courage about with these autopsies. You know, I got connects, man, so you know, I've seen certain things, and I'm gonna leave it there. What they did, one, when they do autopsies, they do the whole work, right? And so what they were doing, the autopsy on the young lady who lost her life, unfortunately, tragically, and way, way, way too young, the heart was already showing scarring from too much cardio at 13.
Whoa. Damn.
All right?
That's wrong.
All right? So there's a lot of young people who have that scarring. Okay, Division I athletes. And martial arts, which I've studied, and various levels, breath work, all these things like that, which is a whole other conversation, is how many heartbeats you keep. You get so many, but if you're pushing it, pushing it, pushing it, pushing it, you're tearing it, you're tapping into your reserves. That's why there's so much deterioration with people who are long-distance runners, right? And all these other things.
Right.
That heart has these life forces. So we mentioned Bruce, he's just short-circuited, right? So in other words, all this push the agenda, being on the top 10, all these athletes are running into that. You hear athletes having a regular heartbeat. and all these other things like that. Because they're not currently afflicted doesn't mean they're not. And lastly to that point, this dude, Conor McGregor, right? You ever see this jack-off train?
Yeah.
I mean, if he's trying to set some kind of impressive record for exercise and fitness via video, okay, maybe you're doing that. But every time I look at that, I go, there's just no way he's going to have the stamina left come fight night.
Yeah.
He's already tapped out.
I think Mayweather knew that too.
Right. And he gets in the ring and the Diaz brothers, right, you know, Nate and Nick, you know, I mentioned them. They're local here, you know, and I was hearing about them before this UFC and all that stuff took off. They're just straight fighters, right, period. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're just straight fight cats, man. I mean, raw, cool though, cool. Cool dudes. You know, their training record, their training style, and they kick ass, right, is so much more measured. And when I watch, I can't remember what the Nate or Nick, because I see him as the same. He just took McGregor apart like a Lego house. And I guarantee you, he did 75% less of training than McGregor did. He has no cardio left. Now, people can argue, they can make their points, but when you work with the Olympic, when you talk to these Olympic track coaches like Mr. William Temple, and they start, and how he revved up the Tiger Bells to win Olympic gold, and Ralph Boston set records in long jump way before any of this stuff was in vogue. They understood these principles. So the Coach McLendon with his up-tempo style, there's a way you got to taper this shit off. In today's world,
always,
there's no taper.
Always. Always. It's not what you do, it's how you do it. Simple as that. Same brother. Yes.
Well, as we come to the second week of the World Cup, the USA died in 59 minutes of this match tonight. The USA will not get a three-peat. Because these teams are better than they were 4 years ago. We have seven new teams in the tournament. Philippines, Ireland, Zambia, Haiti, Vietnam, Portugal, Panama, and Morocco. Yesterday, the Philippines, with nine Americans, beat New Zealand. This is going to be very interesting. This year, the World Cup is very, very competitive. I think one of the nine new teams might upset Germany, France, Italy, America, China, and Japan. So, miss it. It'll be good.
Nice. Go. Nice rundown.
On Sunday, it'll be a magical musical guest. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Magical musical guest on Sunday at 4 o'clock.
Thank you, Greg. You know, I'm past the point of just being angry because these motherfuckers from Blog Talk put this deliberate noise in here every fucking week. Some weeks is worse than others, but they put it up there. And I got to ask myself, why are you going through all this? Why are you so motivated to do this? You trying to stop real information from getting out? Well, we know, we understand all that. But it's like you're trying too hard. When I hear this bullshit, all I can expect is the noise that comes from straight ignorance. You put the information out there, and you do with it what you want. But you better believe the information will get out there, no matter how hard you fuckers try.
That's it.